It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
My story has never changed.
Lawmakers pressed Attorney General Jeff Sessions on his contacts with Russia during the presidential campaign.
I will not accept and reject accusations that I have ever lied. That is a lie.
After reading media reports, Sessions said he could now recall this March 2016 National Security meeting. Sessions chaired the discussion, where campaign aide George Papadopoulos, who recently pled guilty to lying to the FBI, broached the idea of a meeting between candidate Trump and the Russian president.
I believe that I wanted to make clear to him that he was not authorized to represent the campaign with the Russian government or any other foreign government for that matter.
Did you take any further steps to prevent Trump campaign officials, advisors, or employees from further outreach to the Russians?
I don't believe I had any knowledge of any further contacts.
Okay. Sessions avoided direct comment on tweets taking aim at Hillary Clinton and the DNC.
Should the President of the United States make public comments that might influence a pending criminal investigation?
A president cannot improperly influence an investigation.
Okay.
And I have not been improperly influenced and would not be improperly influenced.
On the possible appointment of a special counsel to investigate the Clinton Foundation and Uranium One, a deal that gave Russia control of a broad sector of the U.S. uranium market when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, Sessions pledged independence.
Do I have your assurance that these matters will proceed fairly and expeditiously?
Yes, you can, Mr. Chairman, and you can be sure that they will be done without political influence, and they'll be done correctly and properly.
All right, that was Attorney General Jeff Sessions appearing before the House, answering all kinds of questions from the Democrats about, you know, why he lied, you know, allegedly, of course, according to them, he lied about the Russian influence, and he was very angry about them accusing him of lying. In fact, we should play that clip. I think that's Rob Help Me. That was Adam Help Me. Oh, but clip nine. Let's play it. I wasn't going to, but let's do.
In all of my testimony, I can only do my best to answer your questions as I understand them and to the best of my memory. But I will not accept and reject accusations that I have ever lied. That is a lie. Let me be clear. I have at all times conducted myself honorably and in a manner consistent with the high standards and responsibilities of the Office of Attorney General, which I revere.
All right, so he got grilling not only from the Democrats, and you just heard a little bit of that, accusing him of lying, but he also got grilling from the Republicans. In fact, look, we're going to skip down to clip seven because Jim Jordan, I guess, gave the most poignant challenge to the Attorney General. Let's listen.
What's it going to take to actually get a special counsel?
It would take a factual basis that meets the standards of the appointment of a special counsel.
And is that, well, we know one fact. We know the Clinton campaign, the Democrat National Committee paid for, through the law firm, paid for the dossier. And it sure looks like the FBI was paying the author of that document. And it sure looks like a major political party was working with the federal government to then turn an opposition research document, the equivalent of some National Enquirer story, into an intelligence document, take that to the FISA court so that they could then get a warrant to spy on Americans associated with President Trump's campaign. Doesn't that warrant naming a second special counsel, as 20 members of this committee wrote you 3.5 months ago asking you to do?
All right, that was, you can see, there was really some powerful questions to the Attorney General, which he had to answer. And actually, in the next segment, we're going to invite Rick Manning with Americans for Limited Government to join us. Rick is following this closely, and we're going to talk, he and I, about what happened yesterday and what it actually meant. So stay tuned on that. And inevitably, of course, then Attorney General Sessions was asked about the story du jour, which happens to be the Senate campaign of Justice Roy Moore. So let's listen to the question and the answer.
As you well know, Lee Kaufman, Wendy Miller, Debbie Watson Gibson, Gloria Thacker Deason, and Beverly Young Nelson, these young women have accused this individual, Judge Moore, who is running for a federal office, the United States Senate, of child sexual activity. Do you believe these young women?
I am have no reason to doubt these young women.
And with that in mind, if you believe these young women, do you believe Judge Moore should be seated in the Senate if he wins? And would you introduce investigations by the DOJ regarding his actions?
We will evaluate every case as to whether or not it should be investigated. This kind of case would normally be a state case. I would say, Representative Jackson Lee, that the ethics people at the Department of Justice, and I've talked to them about that when this campaign started, it's the seat I used to hold, they advised me that the Attorney General should not be involved in this campaign. I have friends in the campaign.
Thank you, Mr. General.
I have steadfastly adhered to
that view. I want to make sure that if he comes to the United States Senate,
and I think I should continue to do so.
If he comes to the United States Senate, that there would be the possibility of referring his case for at least a federal review by the Department of Justice.
We will do our duty.
All right, so that's how it went down. And many people were disappointed that Sessions should weigh in, saying that he had no reason not to believe the women, because he has no reason not to believe Justice Moore either. So he is the head law enforcement person in the country, and he's being so careful on everything. Certainly careful on Hillary, not to criticize Hillary Clinton, not to criticize, you know, not to get involved in cases investigating Robert Mueller and James Comey. And so it just seemed curious that he would weigh in on that, but he did. And so back to the Alabama race, which I've talked about for 2 days in a row, and we have to keep talking about it because it is so crucial to the future of the Republic. We've got something much greater than Roy Moore's guilt or innocence, and that is the fact that the establishment is doing everything they can to destroy. Remember that Mitch McConnell said he was going to destroy, he was going to crush the Tea Party? That was when the Tea Party sort of was the moniker for the movement that later became the Trump movement. And so we know that there's a battle going on. Conservative HQ actually wrote a really interesting article called The Assassination of Roy Moore, in which it's a very good article, and I'm going to put this on our Facebook page. But the second one they wrote was The Despicable Mitch McConnell. And it goes through and tracks just one race, like in 2014 when Thad Cochran ran against Chris McDaniel. It was common knowledge, in fact documented, that Thad Cochran was traveling with his assistant while his wife was in a nursing home. In fact, the congressional records list 33 trips that Cochran and Weber attended together. According to the record, it cost the American taxpayer. Weber's travel alone was at least $155,000. They went 5 times to Italy, 4 times to Israel, twice to Japan. They went to wine country, and they claimed that it was a fact-finding program on issues of importance to the wine industry, but they went by themselves. So it was also confirmed that Cochran lived in the same home with Mrs. Weber. The reason we mention that is because Senator McConnell, of course, did not, that wasn't a problem for him. He poured lots of money and help, and in fact, very questionable help, into the campaign of Thad Cochran to get him reelected, because he was the right kind of Republican, you see. And you will remember that they did all kinds of, they did scare phone calls to African-American voters in Mississippi. Knowing Thad Cochran's circumstances, that didn't seem to be a problem. But this whole business with Justice Moore is a huge problem for them because he's the wrong kind of Republican. And so conservative HQ says Mitch McConnell spent millions to defeat Judge Moore and he failed. But this plan started with McConnell refusing to use RSC committee funding to help Roy Moore win the December 12th election. So when they make much of the Republicans not supporting Judge Moore in the race, it really is nothing new. They haven't been. They're trying to destroy him. So now back to the issue at hand, which is, of course, his guilt or innocence. You know, Sean Hannity last night gave I think, Roy Moore 24 hours to come forward with some proof. You have to understand that Sean has been losing advertisers over featuring, over interviewing Roy Moore, and even hinting at not, you know, not condemning him like the others. And so this morning, this is what, I guess it went out yesterday, and that is from Garman and Lydon, the attorneys in Birmingham, Alabama. Your client, it's written to Alabama Media Group, and it says, your client has engaged in making false reports and or careless reporting that has adversely affected my clients, to include but not limited to reporting that a fifth woman has accused Roy Moore of sexual misconduct or assault, which is untrue, inaccurately reporting the income paid by the foundation, inaccurately reporting the travel expenses and accommodations of my clients, and to include alleging that a private jet was used, which is untrue. Your client as an outlet is carelessly and perhaps maliciously reporting that my client, Judge Roy Moore, noted and signed a yearbook of an accuser as DA, and in a manner which experts, to include our own, have confirmed it is not consistent with his handwriting, to wit, structure, stroke, slant, base, alignment, and does not comport to his typical vernacular. Your client has also carelessly and perhaps allowed general slander and libel to the reputation of my clients by seeking out or, and or reporting for those who did, individuals who falsely portray the reputations of Roy Moore in Northeast Alabama. This careless and or malicious reporting includes reporting that the judge was banned from the Gadsden Mall, was on a watch list for the Gadsden Mall, had a general reputation of predatory behavior, that he badgered teens and had a general bad reputation. Such is untrue and is due to be recanted. Then it goes on to just what defamation is. They are going to be suing the Alabama Media Group for defamation. It says, specifically, your client's reports have indicated there are five women accusing Chief Justice Roy Moore of sexual misconduct, when in fact only two women have made accusations of sexual misconduct, and both of those women have made false statements, which your client has yet to publish. The other ladies, which were rounded up in the witch hunt, merely allege they perceived him to have made advances, but do not accuse him of sexual misconduct. There's more to that letter. We'll post that on our Facebook page, but that's kind of the response this morning. There will be a lawsuit. A robocall went out to, I don't know how many people, but people in Alabama, allegedly being a reporter for the Washington Post, which a reporter who gave an email address, and no one seems to be able to find this reporter. So I don't know the source of this, but this is the robocall. I want you to hear it.
Hi, this is Lenny Bernstein. I'm a reporter for the Washington Post. I'm calling to find out if anyone at this address is a female between the ages of 54 to 57 years old, willing to make damaging remarks about candidate Roy Moore for a reward of between $5,000 to $7,000. We will not be fully investigating these claims. However, we will need a written report. I can be reached by email, lbernstein@washingtonpost.com.
Okay, that's it. Bernie Bernstein is what he calls himself. And they're offering a reward of between $5,000 and $7,000 to anyone who has a claim, damaging remarks about the candidate. And says, we will not be fully investigating those claims. So in other words, asking people to make things up, and we'll pay you to do that. So nobody knows where that's coming from, and yet that's going out. Jesse Waters in The Five last night made some comments that really raised my hackles. I want you to hear it. Let's listen.
We were right about it from the very beginning. The guy looks like a holy roller hypocrite. This isn't just a he said, she said when it involves minors, and now it's risen to the level of alleged sexual assault. We're hearing reports about him signing high school girls' yearbooks when he's in his 30s. He allegedly was banned from malls because he was trying to pick up teenagers. Right. It just gets more and more.
So you hear, gory, you get this, a holy roller. He looks like a holy roller, therefore he must be guilty. It's just amazing. And Jesse then is repeating things that are just not true. There's one person who alleged he signed a yearbook, and now this lawsuit says that that's false. So Russell Moore has weighed in, of course, against Judge Moore. The headline is Christians Must Condemn Adults Creeping on Teenagers. So Russell Moore has decided, and he's also making the case that Christians who defend Judge Roy Moore, you know, somehow are supporters of some form of pedophilia or assault, which is just ridiculous. Russell Moore's constant aligning himself with the left and against Christian conservatives should be worrisome to all of us. I have to take a break. We'll be back to talk about Jeff Sessions and his testimony in just a second. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So
What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Dinosaurs on the Ark? This is Ken Ham, whose ministry has produced the family-friendly Answers Bible curriculum. Many people wonder if dinosaurs were on the ark. Well, Genesis tells us that Noah took two of every kind of land-dwelling, air-breathing animal onto the ark. Since dinosaurs are land-dwelling and air-breathing, they came to Noah to go on the ark. But how did he fit the dinosaurs on board? Well, keep in mind the average size of a dinosaur is the size of a buffalo. We hear a lot about the big ones, but most were average size. And for the really big ones, God could have sent Noah young adults for the ark. They'd eat less, take up small space, and reproduce better after the flood. It's no problem at all explaining dinosaurs on the ark.
Learn more about Noah's Ark, the flood, and dinosaurs at AnswersRadio.com and plan your visit to the Ark Encounter with its full-size Noah's Ark at AnswersRadio.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. There may be a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit Truett.edu today.
Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream people, unleashed something called implicit bias on social media the other day. It's not a new ice cream flavor, it's worse. The Vermont-based creamery wants to lecture all of you white folks about systemic racism. Ben and Jerry's is known for pushing progressive social issues about as much as they are for Cherry Garcia ice cream, urging customers to take an implicit bias test, sponsored by the privileged folks at Harvard. I reckon the results will determine if you are a socially acceptable racist or a hood-wearing, cross-burning racist. They cover everything from white-sounding names to why black drivers are pulled over more than white drivers. You know the drill. The bottom line, the folks at Ben & Jerry seem to believe we live in a segregated country because white folks don't like to socialize with different races. I blame that on all of you folks who prefer French vanilla. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Mitch McConnell sent shockwaves through the Capitol yesterday when he announced that Senate Republicans are taking another swing at killing off Obamacare.
Yeah, we're optimistic that inserting the individual mandate repeal would be helpful. And that's obviously the view of the Senate Finance Committee Republicans as well.
Now, House Republicans set to vote on their tax bill tomorrow will not include the repeal. Last night at an exclusive town hall here on Fox News, Speaker Paul Ryan explained why.
Obviously, we're in favor of repealing the individual mandate, but we didn't want to needlessly complicate the passage of tax reform, given we did not have the votes before to get this through the Senate. So we want to see the Senate go first and see if they can get that done. And then we'll discuss whether or not it gets included at the end.
And now another problem that the House leadership has is that they've already whipped the bill and they're confident they have the vote. So adding anything new now could jeopardize its passage. House Democrats, of course, uniformly opposed to it. So here's where we are. The House expects to pass their bill tomorrow. The Senate expects to pass theirs out of committee this week, hopefully, or next, setting up a full vote possibly after Thanksgiving. And then, only then, if they pass both chambers, can they blend the two together. And that's when they could possibly include the Obamacare repeal.
All right, that was Griff Jenkins this morning on Fox and Friends. This is Sandy Rios back with you. You know, we talked about the tax bill quite a bit. I believe it was last week, and we talked about the problem with the House tax bill, tax reform bill, was that it was kind of a wash. It took some money from some people and added money to other people, but in the overall view, it didn't really help the economy. It didn't help the overall bottom line of the economy. And so what does this do? You know, taking away the Obamacare mandate, what exactly would that do? I've asked Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government. I never get that name right, but I did today, Rick. I want credit.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Anyway, I've asked Rick to join us because he knows all things financial, and I trust his judgment. And so, Rick, does this change things for you? Do you feel that if they get the Obamacare mandate repealed, that this makes a difference in the quality of this bill significantly?
Oh, absolutely. Let's just get to practical areas, and then we'll talk philosophical. In a practical area, you've got 3.5 million people who are paying $500 a month or $500 a year on average, so they don't have to have Obamacare insurance. That will be wiped out. That's a whole bunch of people who are not going to be compelled by be taxed because they choose not to have insurance. Another 3.5 million people will be having a choice as to whether or not they want to have a health insurance when there isn't a penalty if they don't, and so they're going to have more freedom. On the dollar cents level, it's about $350 billion over 10 years. That the government is going to save by not having the individual mandate overall. That's $350 billion that can be applied towards either budget deficit reduction or additional tax cuts that would, in fact, make the tax plan much more aggressive in terms of its individual tax cuts. So it's I think it is an extraordinary move. And most importantly, Sandy, it opens the door. Once they've done it, it opens the door to try to cram the rest of the Obamacare repeal that did not pass earlier this year. Well, it was a partial repeal, but the rest of that didn't pass into the bill. This will allow for them to get rid of employer mandate if they choose and provide greater flexibility for the states, which is a great thing. So this may be the door that's opened, and a lot of us have advocated for a long time that they do this. We were always told what Paul Ryan said on your news clip that, oh, we didn't want to mess it up. We didn't want to complicate it. But the fact of the matter is, what complicates it is that, you know, the tax bill has been that they have to do it revenue neutral by and large. And that's a terrible tax bill. Getting rid of Obamacare, any part of it will make it so they can now actually make it into a tax cut bill. And that's good for America.
Okay, so the premise has been that we can't go back to any kind of repeal of Obamacare because look what happened last time with John McCain and others bailing. And so we can't do that again. But then Senator McConnell last night suddenly announces they're going to do this. So what's changed, Rick?
ANWR, drilling in ANWR will be included in the Senate tax bill. Lisa Murkowski was a no vote. Lisa Murkowski cannot vote against drilling in ANWR.
Oh, interesting.
Changed.
So that's what's changed. So how about John McCain, though? I read that he...
We don't need John McCain. We need one more vote, and that's Lisa Murkowski. If the votes on the Obamacare bill from last time hold, we lost by one vote. And
okay.
There were three Republicans who voted against it, Susan Collins, Murkowski, and McCain. They've had a lot of conversations with Collins. I don't know what's resulted in those. But Lisa Murkowski cannot vote against drilling in ANWR. It would be a political death sentence for her.
Okay.
And as a result, that one vote, They're not getting any Democrat votes anyway, so they don't have a say. That one vote is what can make the difference between getting the number of votes and Mike Pence can put it over the top or not. And I think that that's the chit they played, and it's a great chit because it's a good thing to do.
Yeah. All right. So then you have the House. Is there any reason to believe? I don't know how the votes break down there, Rick. I'm sure that no Democrats are going to vote for this. I would be surprised. But there are some establishment Republicans who have dragged their feet on repealing Obamacare. So what are the numbers there?
Yeah, well, Paul Ryan has whipped his bill. He believes that they've got the numbers right now. Remember this. A lot of those liberal Republicans really are very responsive to the business community. And the business community desperately wants this bill. And not for corporate crony reasons. It does lower the corporate tax rate to 20%. It lowers the tax rate on S-Corps, too, which is, you make a little extra money, it's kind of in a business category. It lowers its maximum to 25%. It creates create tax breaks for many people who are in the middle income areas. It's not my favorite bill. I think that they could have done much better. If they move towards and even expand the Obamacare provisions that appear to be ripe for putting in the Senate bill, what we're going to come up with is going to be a darn good tax bill that I think America will like.
All right. Well, that's good news. That is good news. And we'll be happy for some good news. All right. Let's switch our conversation to Attorney General Sessions' testimony yesterday. That we've heard a lot of clips about it. People have been watching the news, and I played some of them before you joined me, Rick. But I would be interesting to know. Sometimes, the clips that are played are chosen by news outlets are not necessarily the best moments. So I'd be curious to know what you thought the highlights were of that hearing.
I think the highlights of the hearing really precede the hearing, and that is the letter that the Attorney General sent to Congress responding to letters that they had. Where he outlines that they are, in fact, looking at questions that Congress brought up. They are, in fact, having those inquiries running through the Attorney General's office, indicating that he is actively involved in it. And we're talking about things like the Clinton Foundation. We're talking about things like the Uranium One scandal. Those are being looked at. What Attorney General Sessions cannot say in the public arena, because it's not the way you're supposed to run Department of Justice, they can't say, these people, we're actively investigating something. That has a very technical meaning, and he will not say that. And there's a simple reason. All of us should be glad he's not willing to say that. We've spent the last 8 years talking about the rule of law. The rule of law is very, very important, and the Obama administration has so destroyed it that we now have an expectation that any time that something even flutters in Washington, D.C., and the Department of Justice, there should be a tweet about it, there should be some kind of leak about it. We should be basically putting individuals who might be part of being looked at as part of an investigation, and we hold them, we say, that person's guilty because we hear they're being investigated. That's wrong. We've seen this in the Roy Moore case. You cannot destroy people's lives based on innuendo. Attorney General Sessions is doing something very significant. This is the most important thing he's doing in the Justice Department. He's taking a look at the facts. He's finding out what the facts are. We think we know what the facts are. He's actually going to find out what the facts are. He's going to look at it versus the law, and whether people have broken the law. And most importantly, as it comes to Hillary Clinton, and this is very important, Sandy.
One thing that happened last week that got so little attention, and not even enough for me, honestly, just because it's a little complicated to explain, and that it was that a group of House Republicans led what they call a special order on the House floor, asking for light to be shed on all the things that we've been talking about. I didn't want to give them credit. It's Matt Gaetz, Congressman Biggs, Andy Biggs from Arizona, Mark Meadows, Jim Jordan, Trent Franks, Louie Gohmert, Scott Perry, Ted Yoho, and Jody Heiss. They all went on the floor and they asked, they said things like this: we are at risk of a coup d'etat in this country if we allow an unaccountable person with no oversight to undermine the duly elected president of the United States. And then Jim Jordan says, why in 2016 would James Comey call the Clinton investigation a matter, not an investigation? Last time I checked, he wasn't the director of the Federal Bureau of Matters. And it goes on because they all had substantial statements. But the point I'm trying to make, Rick, is that this is a little bit new, it seems to me, that Paul Ryan is actually allowing hearings, that Attorney General Sessions went before a House committee, that the conversation is beginning. What's changed with that?
Well, the House had about five different major things that they were, and the House and Senate between them had about five major things that they were working on yesterday. I think what's changed is Virginia. They lost, it wasn't Donald Trump who lost Virginia. It was an establishment Republican who was with no record that he could point to, and he was being held accountable for the failure of the establishment Republicans in the House and the Senate to do anything that they promised they'd do. So he had no credibility, and he had no enthusiasm, and they realized that they have to do stuff to have enthusiasm. And here's what they can do, and on the Hillary Clinton stuff in particular. Okay, I'm just going to give you an example of Uranium One. Uranium One were U.S. assets that a group within the United States had set up to evaluate this, allowed to be transferred to a foreign country. There's a very specific procedure that has to be undertaken, and in my estimation, that procedure failed. So what Congress can do is they can ask questions about why did it fail, what happened, who, and get into all the Clinton cash stuff. But ultimately, their job is to decide if the law needs to be changed so it doesn't happen again. What the Attorney General's job is to take the facts in terms of what happened and determine if laws were broken, and most significantly, Sandy, if laws were broken in such a way that you can take the immediate past opposition candidate for president, a former first lady, and a former member of the Senate, and put her on trial in the District of Columbia, where over 90% of people voted for her for president, and get a conviction. That's the question he's got to figure out. His job is to figure out the legal part of it. Their job is to figure out what went wrong in the law that could be stop it from happening in the future.
We just have a couple
Both
of minutes. Just a couple of minutes left. So, Rick, did you feel that the attorney? Are you comfortable? Do you feel like we're in a good place in terms of getting to the truth and ferreting out some of this corruption? Are you encouraged by yesterday's hearing?
Absolutely. I think it's become clear to me that the only chance we have to bring Hillary Clinton to justice is through Jeff Sessions. And I'll give you the simple rationale why. First of all, Jeff Sessions, as you know, is an honest man. He's an honorable man. Secondly, none of us really liked the recusal that resulted in having Bob Mueller. None of us liked that. But here's what somebody can't say about him now. They can't say he's a partisan hack who's just doing political bidding, because they can try to say it, but it's not credible, because he stood there and he said, I'm going to stand up and say, if there's a hint of impropriety, I'm not going to be involved. This allows him to have clean hands when he goes after this investigation. And that's what we need when you're going to take on an investigation that is going to be probably more historic than any of the impeachment investigations that we've seen.
Wouldn't you think also that Trump's public disapproval and criticism of Attorney General Sessions should be, at least in the court of public opinion, enough proof right there that he is not inclined to bend over backwards to do the bidding of Donald Trump. He's probably got a little of his own personal anger and humiliation. So I just think that point was never made in that hearing yesterday, I don't think.
No, it wasn't. I do know this about the Attorney General. He's an honest man. He's going to do what he thinks is right. And if the facts are there and there's a case to be made, I don't think there's a cowardly bone in his body. He will go forward, do what's necessary. Just because he's a soft-spoken man doesn't mean he doesn't have a spine of steel. And that's what I've seen in the Attorney General, is a spine of steel. And I expect that with the American people, we'll be very glad that we have Attorney General Jeff Sessions operating Department of Justice.
Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government. Rick, thanks for joining me this morning. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Sandy.
All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Former professional women's basketball player and college basketball star Camille Lenoir thought she landed her dream job as an assistant women's basketball coach at New Mexico State University. That was until she received a call saying the job offer she just accepted was now revoked. Why was the offer revoked? Because Camille was a Christian, and a video surfaced where she renounced her former life of lesbianism. She since sued the university in federal court for religious and heterosexuality discrimination. There isn't much tolerance for Christian former homosexuals.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
In simpler times, we could say Christmas in the classroom.
All right, children, now divide the word Christmas into syllables.
Hey, the first part is Christ.
That's correct.
The American Family Association wants to keep Christ in Christmas, and one way we're doing that is the Keep Christ in Christmas wristband. Encourage your friends, family, and church with this fun, inexpensive reminder. Order AFA Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands in sets of 10 at afa.net.
Cross-examine.
What is the most important skill you need to learn if you want your life to be a success into eternity? I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the answer to that question is to properly interpret the Bible. That's the skill you need to have.
Listen to Cross-Examine with Frank Turek, Saturday mornings at 9 Central and Sunday afternoons at 4 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. If you're having one of those, I don't know how I'm going to get through it kind of days, you'll be amazed at how setting faith sharing as your number one priority turns every day into an adventure, and you'll discover you're having the time of your life. No matter the situation, God will place people in your life today who need to know what you know about God. You need to watch for them. It could be the clerk in the store, the young man at the tree lot, the waitress at the restaurant, even your chief adversary in the office. Yeah, the one you can't stand. Guess what? God loves every one of these people as much as he loves you. And his plan is for you to help him get them into his family sooner rather than later. He actually put them in your life for that purpose. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. For help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Attorney General Jeff Sessions will be on Capitol Hill today, where he is expected to announce he's reached the same conclusion as have millions of us. There is sufficient evidence of wrongdoing by Hillary and Bill Clinton and other Democrats involving the Russians and harm to the national security to warrant a criminal inquiry. Naturally, a prime focus of such an investigation would be the evident malfeasance of the Clintons, former Attorney General Eric Holder, and former FBI Director Robert Mueller in approving the sale of 20% of U.S. uranium stocks to Moscow. But investigators must also consider other outrages, including notably the Obama-Clinton-enabled transfer of a vast array of sensitive missile and computer technologies to Russia as part of the previous administration's disastrous reset with Putin. The rule of law requires the same standard for every American. No exceptions. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Well, believe it or not, Christmas is going to be here before we know it. This is the 15th, you know, just what, 35 days? It's amazing how, but I love this season, and I'm sure many of you do too. It's always a joy to have something so marvelous, something that changed the world and really changed many of the lives of people listening to me, and certainly my own life, the birth of Jesus, the Savior, who died for the sins of the world, including all the stuff we talk about every day and all the stuff that we deal with our own in our own personal lives. Thank God there is a Savior. Thank God. Nobody like him. Unique. No God, no world system has a God like ours, who gave his only Son, who became man, became flesh, who humbled himself. It's just an incredible story. And so we're getting ready to celebrate it. And if you have not yet packed your shoebox for Samaritan's Purse, you still have time. Operation Christmas Child is going on through November the 20th, so we're running out of time here. But what you do is you go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC, and you can get your instructions about how to do this. And it's time to sort of find a collection site near you. A lot of churches do these collection sites, so I don't think you'll have trouble finding a place to drop them off. But collection week is this week, the 13th through the 20th. So drop off your shoebox at one of the nearly 5,000 collection sites and participate with us in sending this box to kids in very difficult areas of the world to cheer them up. And also, Samaritan's Purse puts a information in the box that tells them about Jesus. Just what I said, that there was a Savior. There was a Savior for the world. And so I hope you'll join us with that at samaritanspurse.org/OCC. And then we still have our Christmas bands, which, you know, say, keep Christ in Christmas. Keep Christ in Christmas. Just a great little way to start a conversation about who he is, why we want to keep him in Christmas. And God will give you chances, you know, to share your faith with people. I'm sure he will, if you're open to that and you pray about it. But it just kind of makes a statement, too, even if you don't have conversations. You can order sets of 10 at discounted prices. And all you have to do is go to afa.net, 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 and get your Christmas wristband and wear it for Christmas. Have your kids wear it. Give it to your Sunday school class. Give it to your friends at church, et cetera, et cetera. Well, back to that sin stuff we've been talking about yesterday on Capitol Hill. I just think it's interesting. Jackie Speier, the women of Capitol Hill, the congresswomen, are now getting together to talk about sexual harassment on Capitol Hill. Now, don't misunderstand what let me say right up front, I'm not against this. I recognize that this has been going on forever. Terrible stories about the abuses of power by senators and congressmen to staffers, and also just abusing their wives by being so unfaithful. You know, not all of them, but a lot of them. And their power seems like it enables them to do that. So misunderstand my comments to be against this in any way. But it's a bandwagon thing right now because of what's going on. So lawmakers in both parties have expressed an interest and a support for mandatory sexual harassment awareness training. Jackie Speier, a congresswoman from Democrat from California, testified before a panel on this. And this is at least in part what she had to say.
In fact, there are two members of Congress, Republican and Democrat, right now, who serve, who have been subject to review, or not have been subject to review, but have engaged in sexual harassment. These harasser propositions, such as, are you going to be a good girl, to perpetrators exposing their genitals, to victims having their private parts grabbed on the House floor.
Now, here's the thing. While we're against everything she just described, I see potential danger here. Do you not think that the Democrats have seen really clearly that if they could just accuse their opponents of something like this and it could become public, just think of what might happen. Just think. How could they expose, you know, like Congressman X or Senator B and not have the Republican leadership respond as they have with Justice Roy Moore? You know, out. Accused, then you're out. You're not worthy of these chambers. If you've just been accused, I could imagine that congressmen and senators are shuddering right now. Now, some of them should be shuddering. So, you know, it's both and. But also, it's an amazing thing. I'm not even sure they see what they're being set up for. But surely they are being set up for something like that. I read to you earlier, and I just want to repeat in case some of you weren't listening. at the time, at the first part of the show, that Justice Moore's attorneys are wrote a letter that went out last night to the Alabama Media Group. They're going to be suing them for slander against Justice Moore. And they talked about the signature on the yearbook, that it was falsified. They're alleging it was falsified. They're saying that they're misreporting, that these women, the charges, there have been false statements that have not been reported. They're just a charging bias, all the things we've been talking about. So I just wanted you to know that. And I want to go back to Sean Hannity is giving Roy Moore 24 hours to prove, basically prove his innocence. And I want to be more specific with you because Sean has had several advertisers pull out of his show, including Keurig. It's Keurig, right? I don't buy the product. I think I've seen it, but I don't think I've said it. But it's that coffee maker. They've pulled out, and so have several other advertisers, and another one yesterday. So Sean is feeling the heat for having supported, at least given Roy Moore a platform to tell his story. So he's putting the squeeze on Justice Moore, which is interesting and complicated. And then I want to go back to the Russell Moore mime, whatever, that he wrote for Christian Post. I just said a word before we took the break in the first segment, and I want to go back to that because this is how the Christian Post puts it. The title is Russell Moore on Roy Moore Scandal. Christians must condemn adults creeping on teenage girls. Ethicist Russell Moore has warned that Christians cannot pretend to be against moral relativism if they are unwilling to speak out against adults preying on teenage girls. Russell Moore, president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, tweeted on Monday why he spends so much time talking about nominal cultural Christian, quote-unquote, religion. It is predatory, soul-twisting, covers over violence and racism and molestation. The gospel of Jesus Christ brings life and joy and rest and peace. To which I have to just stop and say, what in the world is he talking about? Is he saying that the people that believe that Justice Moore is telling the truth rather than the women, believe that it's okay to do violence and practice racism or molest teenage girls? Really? I mean, this is the problem I have with Russell Moore. If you're listening, Russell, this is the problem I have with you. Your thinking is so confused, and I don't know if you do it intentionally to mislead people or if you really are just a confused thinker, but you do not think clearly, sir, and you confuse people and you mislead them. And it's interesting to me that your position always comes down against strong conservatives. It always comports with either the establishment or the left. Your views are not that different from them, and yet you claim some sort of high moral ground. I don't understand that. I really don't. By the way, there are a lot of defenders. Let me just go to this. So Russell Moore says, there are girls and women in our churches right now wondering where they can turn as they are molested by predators. I know Jesus' answer. What about that of the church? Well, Aunt Russell, I'm asking you, what about men who are wrongly accused? Where can they turn? You know, I know the answer, and it isn't a church that you would support because you insist that the victim is always right. And I don't think you're right about that. I think men can be wrongly accused. I remember, maybe you don't. I do remember this repressed memory syndrome. Anybody remember that? That's where girls would suddenly have dreams where they remembered. They think they remembered. They were pretty sure they remembered that somebody sexually molested them when they were children, very young children. And it could have been a father, it could have been an uncle or a neighbor. Now look, this is a horrible thing if fathers or brothers or neighbors molest little girls. It's also a horrible thing when they are encouraged, women are encouraged to remember, and they were during this period of time. Don't you remember? Or they would have a dream. I actually experienced this. I saw one girl completely destroy her father over supposed memory. And some of them were proven. I mean, how does a man prove or disprove an accusation like that? That is total destruction for him, for sometimes for his marriage, for his family, his self-worth. If he's innocent. And so, are girls who are molested to be more defended than men who are wrongly accused? I don't think so. You know, I actually think that God wants justice on both ends of the spectrum. I really do. I think God cares as much about men who have been falsely accused as he does about girls who have been molested. I really do. And so I just think we do not know. Look, we don't know what's going to happen with Justice Moore. It's an ongoing saga. But we cannot say, I don't think anybody can say for a certainty that he's guilty of these things. And until they can prove that, this rush to judgment just floors me. You know, even the Bible itself, contrary to Russell Moore's, his condemnation in his statements and shaming Christians for defending Roy Moore, it's just amazing to me. Contrary to Russell Moore's supposed great biblical knowledge, there is the whole thing that we are to establish witnesses if someone's being accused. Witnesses, and that we get to the truth, that's a biblical, has biblical foundations, and then it was fleshed out in law here in this country that there should be witnesses to something like this, or some other, we should get to the bottom of it and find out what the truth is from witnesses. And so we don't jump to conclusions. We don't assume that someone's guilty when we hear some kind of a rumor. Do we? Did you grow up in the church learning that? I surely didn't. That we hear some bit of gossip or some story about someone, that we automatically rush to believe them, especially when we've known them for a long time, and we consider their character against the accusation. Surely that would be God's way to have us operate, to give the benefit of the doubt to someone whose character we've observed for a number of years, as opposed to someone that we have known nothing about, whose statements have not been proven. And so I reject Russell Moore's theories. I reject most of his theories. I think he's untrustworthy. I'll tell you that right now. I just think he is untrustworthy. And I would recommend that you carefully be careful when you consider what he writes, because I think in between his sometimes good things that he says are a lot of misleading, dangerous statements. And so just saying, I want to tell you there's another story that happened, a couple of miscellaneous stories I wanted to give to you. This is actually a big story. I don't have time to tell it properly, but let me just say Zimbabwe went through a revolution in 1980, and they have been under oppression. They were a very productive, bountiful state in northern Africa. Just farms, farming and cattle and all kinds of things when Mugabe did a military coup and took over. And the people have suffered so much. They've starved. Inflation has gone to like 10,000%. And just yesterday, something happened. Let's listen to clip 11.
Firstly, we wish to assure the nation that His Excellency, the President of the Republic of Zimbabwe and Commander-in-Chief of the Zimbabwe Defense Forces, Comrade R.G. Mugabe, and his family are safe and sound, and their security is guaranteed. We are only targeting criminals around him who are committing crimes that are causing social and economic suffering in the country in order to bring them to justice. As soon as we have accomplished our mission, we expect that the situation will return to normalcy. To both our people and the world beyond our borders, we wish to make it abundantly clear that this is not a military takeover of government. What the Zimbabwe Defense Forces is doing is to pacify a degenerating political, social, and economic situation in our country.
All right, that's Major General S.B. Moyo, and that was on Zimbabwean national television. I recognize that many of you maybe don't know much about Zimbabwe, but I have to tell you, the people there have suffered so much. They cried out for help for this last 20, 30 years and really got none. And so it looks like Mugabe he's in custody with his family. It looks like the military's, at least from my understanding at this point, expediting putting someone else in place who will bring order back to that country and maybe stop the violence, the inflation, the chaos. Now, that's wishful thinking on my part, but it is justice, at least in part, coming to this country after all of these years. You know, we are all part of this. We deal with the same sins, with the same kind of oppression. Human nature does not change from country to country. It doesn't change from race to race either, by the way. And so we just pray that God's justice will be brought about everywhere, in Alabama, in the United States, in the Senate, and certainly in Zimbabwe. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.